This morning, the text will actually be in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the first 11 verses. All is vanity. Before I go straight there, I had made some notes that you've got to get this, that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, they're the same God. And if you've read the Bible from end to amen, cover to cover, and read it and read it and read it, sometimes it's hard to justify that. It's almost as if it's two different books or two different gods, but it is not. So I sort of, not randomly, but I picked two verses. The first one was 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. When God said, "Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. For the Lord has spoken it." Do you see that? Now that's God. In truth, that's Christ Jesus. I know that our minds don't work that way. Our minds work, you can take Matthew 22 and verse 39, and he said, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now you contrast that with what we just read in 1 Kings. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and here God cursed the house of Jeroboam. The dogs are going to eat his progeny in the streets. So I must conclude that this certainly can't be every neighbor every time. Certainly not in Jeroboam's case. And you cross God, you probably get the same thing that you'd get if you crossed one of us as children of God. Someone comes and tries to harm your family, your wife or your children, or whatever it is that you have. He told us to buy a sword. You don't buy a sword to hang it on a wall. He told us to wash feet. We don't wash everyone's feet. I'm trying to... religion tends to generalize. The Lord didn't heal and save every man. He didn't heal every leper. And that's the way I understand it. He most often spoke to the majority in a parable or such so that they couldn't understand him. Is that loving your neighbors yourself? And so there's a light that has to come on in a child of God's life, in his mind and in his heart. And I think perhaps you'll see that when I get to the message. What happens on Sunday mornings happens daily. And when I say on Sunday mornings, I'm talking about in the so-called churches of the land. They control the narrative. Do you ever think about that? Just like, and we're seeing this because we're seeing it in the secular, we're seeing it on news. They control the narrative. This is what we want you to know about God. Well, wait a minute. What about this? This is what they want you to know. God is this way. God is love. Well, what about Jeroboam? No, God's love. What about Judas? What about the little children Elisha called them? She bare out and tore up, 40? 40 children. What do you make of that, preacher? But see, they have a narrative. God is this way. It happened this way. And so I ended my note here, as and I wrote this after the message. God doesn't control the narrative, okay? God is the narrative. He is the truth. And he allows men to control all sorts of things. And so one of the best, what I believe is the best to explain some of these things is we go to our text, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We've preached on this much. I've preached on this much. The words of the preacher. Why not? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to its place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So with that, let me ask you something. Have you gotten past the vanity? Have you gotten past the vanity that's in your life? And that is not what you think you are, but what it is that you really are. You see, I say that because most are but products of their surroundings, of their environment. Most are, you might say, what they were taught, and especially in religion. What they were raised. They were raised to be this way or this way. Or perhaps they even aspire of their own volition to be such. Man can be almost whatever he wants to be. But the preacher said all is vanity. I took the material of gold, because it's said to be the purest metal on the earth. But did you know that gold's not 100% pure? It's said that the finest gold is but 99.99% pure. And so I liken gold because analogies become ambiguous in the field that man calls psychology. By the way, I didn't read that. I wrote it. And that is that by the power of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we are able to shape. You have to know that, or else the very elect be deceived. All those that shouted, every time Melissa and I see that, we're just amazed. Hundreds of thousands of people shouting, Heil Hitler. to a lunatic. Like they're under a spell. And perhaps they were. They certainly didn't see him as a bad guy, did they? Did Eve see the serpent as a red-horned devil? No. He was what? He was subtle. Subtle. I like the definition best that I read in the Oxford Dictionary. Subtle, especially of a change or distinction, so delicate or precise as to be difficult to analyze or describe. If you folks remember me by one phrase, perhaps it'll be words mean things. And they most certainly do. I watched where two women, I don't remember but they were, you know how women, and they're looking at men and different things. And the one commented, the other said, "You better watch that one." She didn't say because he's good looking or she said, "You better watch him because he's very interesting. He's interesting." Well, that's true. That's what people are interested in. Interesting things. Remember, all is vanity. You want a woman's attention? Follow the serpent. Yea, hath God said. I said, words mean things. Consider faith. How does it come? There's a fine line to the entrance of faith. Because the most purity of all that is natural is yet but 99.99% pure. And we have more than 99 now versions, so-called perversions or whatever, of the Word of God. Some of them are very close. And so you could ask yourself, am I a 99.99% child of God? I sent all of you, I don't know if you watched it, it was a Super Bowl commercial, supposedly on religion. About Jesus, I think it had some Catholic origins to it, and they showed the unity of man and kumbaya and Jesus washing feet. And it was, but not purely so. Though it contained truth, maybe a lot of truth, it wasn't even close to 99.99% pure, you see. I believe that our society, our humanity, the way that it's come down is like Nebuchadnezzar's image. It started, you remember, it had a head of gold. You say, wow, that's good. Well, remember, the head of gold was only 99.99% pure. And we started, man started with the first Adam. He certainly wasn't, he was made in God's image, but he wasn't 100% pure. Because if he had been, he wouldn't have fallen. And you can't use Christ as gold, because he's 100%. So you can't use any material, the purest material on earth, you cannot ascribe to Christ to analyze or describe. You see. And now, we're in an awful mess. Iron and clay. Gone from gold to iron mixed with clay. Lukewarm. There's a great meaning in language. The image of Nebuchadnezzar and the seven churches, if you go study those things, and you study the lukewarmness of the Laodicean church, and you study history from Nebuchadnezzar's image right down, and now here we are in the mud, in the dirt, at the feet. Iron mixed with clay. And thus we may, as the preacher, conclude, what? That all is vanity. For what is our life? Is it not but a vapor? Of course it is. So, if you're still in Ecclesiastes, look at chapter 2, verse 17 through verse 19. Solomon said, therefore, I hated life. Can't find anybody like that today. They love life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. Amen. Perhaps if you reach my age, you'll have a better understanding of such. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Why? Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So I've worked all my life, and I'm going to leave it, and as I used to preach, to be in the yard sale. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I've labored, and wherein I've showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. So it's been a week or so since the second, what they said was the second most watched program ever viewed on television, or whatever people watch now, the Super Bowl. And I would venture to say that half the people that watched it couldn't tell you the final score a week later. And soon they won't even remember who the winner was. Who won last year? Who won the year before? Or the year before? All is vanity. Gone like a vapor. Vanity. One of the biggest, when I was a boy, Elvis Presley. I've actually met young people today that don't know who he was. And if the Lord tarries, who will Taylor Swift be? Or Harry or Meghan or whoever those people are. And so you read back in our text, verse 11, the final verse of our text once more. There's no remembrance of former things. Neither shall be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Remember 99.99%. Lucifer said it correctly. He really did. Do you remember what he said? I will be like the Most High. That's right, you will. But you will not be the Most High. You can be like him. You can be 99.99%. But you will not be the Most High. And if you remember in Isaiah when he spoke, he said, I will ascend and I will do this and I will. And you know what? Man will too. You will. I will. One can will to be almost anything, but the best yet only 99.99%. This anointed cherub, this second in command to God himself. And the Bible says he shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Who's going to do that? Is he going to send himself there? That's what they preach on Sunday mornings. Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself there. Satan going to cast himself into hell? You see, that love God who washed feet in his neighbor? What time is it? Always ask yourself, what time is it? I think some of our problem lies in our lack of knowledge of the spiritual. We seem to have lost that. Do you remember Elijah? They sent 150 soldiers. Ahaziah did. And the first 100, he called fire from heaven. And God burned them up. God burned them all up. Spiritual. And I told you what Elisha did, and I didn't even tell you all. Do we wrestle with flesh and blood? Yeah, we all the time. But it's more than that. Turn to Ephesians 6:12. Better to turn there and see it. When you see it and you hear it, faith cometh by hearing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But how are we taught that in religion? You know how they teach that in religion? They have little coloring books or coloring sheets for children with a guy standing up. I can still see it. And he's standing up and he looks like a Roman soldier and he's got armor on. And he's got a shield and he's got a sword. And you pass that out and you hand him some Crayolas and voila, 99.9%. And you better know verse 12 of Ephesians 6 because it's before our very eyes today. Remember, leopards and Ethiopians can't change the natural. Can't change their spots or their color. But it doesn't mention the supernatural. Because in the supernatural, an ass can speak to a man. As a preacher once told me, character's never developed. It's but revealed. You think Jesus loved Judas as himself? I'm asking you. Do you think that? Do you think he loved Judas like he did him? How about Herod? Do you think he loved Herod as himself? That cut the head off of the man that Jesus said it was not a greater in heaven? I'm sorry, not greater in men, least in heaven, but not a greater man on the earth? Are those Jews in John chapter 8, Jews that were the synagogue of Satan, or the ones that they call vipers or snakes? Or how about those that the mysteries of God weren't given to know? I'm asking if you've gotten past the vanity, the vapor. Are not your enemies they of your own household? Oh, well, that's just a saying. Oh, no, it's not. So I'd say, what is it that shapes your religion? Your reason for such? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter said in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, that meekness and fear cannot be in the natural. One doesn't become a Christian, listen, because they've read the book. Untold Numbers never had the book. How did we get Christians before we had the book? We had the Word, but we didn't have the book. You ever read David's Bible? No, he never had one. So are you what you are because God made you such? Or because man or even you made you such? Are you what you are because you learned it? Or because it was revealed? And I can say personally, as even as Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How can these things be? How can a man be born again when he's old? I can only tell you what Jesus said. The wind bloweth where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every man that's born of the Spirit. The end. How can that be, preacher? The wind bloweth where it listeth. Why is it? Why did he do this to Jeroboam over here? And why did he tell us to love our neighbor over here? The wind bloweth where it listeth. I hear the sound. I hear both verses. But I can't tell you where it's coming from or where it's going. You see? Because I'm a man born of the Spirit. Where's the wind go? Sorry, I don't have that information. But I know the one that does. So remember, in closing, we do wrestle. Do you know there was war in heaven before this book? Y'all know that? Who died in that war? You didn't think about that, did you? There was war. They had a war. Who died? Spirits don't die. Angels don't die. Seraphim don't die. Cherubs don't die. I've got some news for you. Your spirit doesn't die either. Better start thinking about the wind and the purity. They don't die, but they do wrestle. Michael fought Satan. You remember that over the body of Moses? 21 days. Man, I tried to get here sooner. But Satan withstood me 21 days. 21 days. They're fighting. 21 days. And Jacob, he wrestled with God. Got crippled. Maybe now you know why there's heaven and hell. Because ye shall not surely die. So, why a sword for what can I die? Oh. You ever consider? I can tell you this. It doesn't die, but it has feeling. Because God says there'll be wailing and there'll be gnashing of teeth. And he said, the worm dieth not. He said, they'll desire death, but they won't get it, it won't come. Do you know there's coming a day when mercy won't exist? God will hear their cries and declare, I never knew you. And the preacher said, "All is vanity."